Mr. Chair, members of the board, agenda item 7 is a presentation on the compensation enhancement review process. This came about based on questions from the board about pensionable compensation and what is happening today under the law in CSERA's process when items of compensation are higher in the measuring period for pension calculations. The first part of the presentation is going to be a summary of the law in place at this time, and the next part will be a hearing from Mr. Tim Hoppe, who will describe his department's implementation of the pension compensation enhancement review process. The agenda packet does have a copy of the slides that we're going to be going through today, starting with slide number 1. This is a summary of the 2012 legislative changes to the County Employee Retirement Law of 1937, as well as the PEPRA, which is the California Public Employees Pension Reform Act of 2013. Those two bills, AB 197 and AB 340, became effective January 1, 2013. On slide 2, we provide you with the law regarding the procedure for assessing enhancements. That is found in Government Code Section 31542. That statute required the CSERA board to establish a procedure for assessing and determining whether an element of compensation was paid to enhance a member's retirement benefit. On slide number 3, we have AB 197, and that, of course, also became effective on January 1, 2013. And that statute, that bill, amended the Searle statute. It amended Section 31461 of the Government Code, and it added an exclusion for any compensation determined by the board to have been paid to enhance a member's retirement benefit under the retirement system. The next slide, slide number 4, talks about other exclusions to compensation earnable that are contained in AB 197. On slide 5, we have AB 340, that's PEPRA. This statute is only applicable to PEPRA members, not to legacy members, and it contains a definition of pensionable compensation. It also contains exclusions to pensionable compensation, and those include any compensation determined by the retirement board to have been paid to increase a member's retirement benefit under that system. Slide 6 reminds us that there was law before 2013 regarding pension spiking, regarding improper increases to compensation that were caused by the member. That's Government Code Section 31539, and that has been in place since 2004, and that is still currently the law. Slide number 7, that's the addition of a statute to the CERL, Government Code Section 31543, and that provided the board and CSERA with specific authority to audit employers, to seek information and records in order to conduct a review of compensation that is then coded and provided to CICERA as compensation earnable. Slide number 8 is a list of policies that the Board of Retirement at CICERA adopted based on the changes in the law. The first one is the policy regarding assessment and determination of compensation enhancements that was adopted on January 9th, 2013. This is the policy that sets out the process for making that determination on an ongoing basis, and we'll have Tim Hoppe come up in a few moments to talk to us about how his department implements that policy. The other two policies are essentially the definition of compensation earnable and pensionable compensation for legacy and PEPRA members under the new law, and also under the writ of mandate that was issued in the AB 197 litigation. That is currently something that CICERA has to comply with, although the case is on appeal. Lastly, this is a list of pending litigation matters that involve AB 197 that pertain to CICERA. The first one is the AB 197 case that's on appeal, and that had to do with the pensionability of leave cash outs, on-call pay, and callback pay. The next case on the list has to do with the pensionability of leave cash outs that straddle multiple calendar years. That's still pending with the Contra Costa Superior Court at this time. And lastly, the case that was filed a while back but has been put on hold, where the union party in the case sought a refund of employee contributions as well as employer contributions that were made for the terminal pay benefit. And that case is on hold at this point. So before I turn it over to Tim Hoppe, are there any questions about the law? Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go through what a retirement counselor goes through when they receive a retirement application for a legacy member. The retirement counselors have a number of different reviews that they go through. Today we're just going to talk about the compensation enhancement review. And this is the review that when they go through it, they're trying to identify and they'll research and report where the final average salary increases by 5% or more, that's the benchmark, and any element of pensionable compensation that increased by 5% or more. That way it will capture if there have been any changes or say a benefit was changed from, you know, an example would be converting from using an automobile or vehicle to an auto allowance in your final year to enhance your benefit. That would be picked up in the review. The 5% threshold is done on all of the applications that come in. Since 2013, as the counselors go through it, generally what they're finding today is the base compensation or the final average compensation, if it's increasing by 5% or more, it's generally related to COLA increases, a change in longevity, a certification that was added in the final year. Some other compensation enhancement examples that are non off of base compensation would be the auto allowance. It could be converting from employer payments for benefits to providing cash to the member to purchase the benefits themselves, a bonus solely for announcing one's retirement, retroactive grants of cashable leave time, pay received for voluntary after hours on call substantially exceeding the member's practice. This is where we'd see an increase. The on-call is reviewed in one of the earlier processes we go through. This is only the excess process. And then termination pay that could not be received during service. And then lastly, departmental transfers to a higher paying position during the member's final year after they announced their retirement. Any such payment, if determined to be an enhancement to compensation during the FAST period, would be excluded from the compensation earnable in the calculation of the benefit. As the counselor puts this information together and does the final calculation, a second review and validation is completed by the retirement services coordinator or supervisor, and then any other items that may be more questionable or require more research would be elevated to myself as the manager, or could be to the compliance officer, the general counsel, and or the CEO as required. And like I said, this process has been in place since 2013. Do you have any questions?
Okay. Jim, thank you.
I think I do have a question. I saw
the wheels turning.
Yeah, it was one of those. I just wanted to make sure I formulated it right. So in the context of the review, do you also make any inquiry, or does the process make an inquiry of counselors to determine whether and to what extent information may have been communicated to a person who's going to be retiring concerning options in their final salary year? And the context of the question is, we heard testimony in one of our prior proceedings regarding the folks who were in the process of retiring or thinking about retiring being encouraged to take one or more steps that would in effect enhance their final average salary. So the question I have is, in your review process, is there a way to test whether or not that's occurred? Do you make that inquiry? Is there any aspect that covers that?
Generally, when a member's retiring, they come in and have a personal retirement, a counseling session to go through their calculation. Normally, they've requested an estimate in how we're calculating their benefit and the
right
components of it, of that benefit. The counselors currently are not counseling on areas on how to increase it. The formula for calculating someone's benefit is fairly straightforward, and there's only so many pieces of information or components of compensation that can increase it. But as far as counseling on it, no, but they would go through the components of compensation that are includable.
Okay, well, I guess what I'm asking is, what's the check and the balance, in the system to know or understand whether that kind of interactions occurred? And I'm thinking it wouldn't be something that a counselor is simply going to offer or say. It might well be the product of typical Q&A in a session, right? Well, what if I do this? Can I do that? How about this, or is this available to me? In terms of the review of the data, because I assume this is at least at first blush a statistical review that may or may not begat further inquiry. Once you've crossed a threshold, does the evaluation or examination of it include that aspect? That is, does it include the interaction between counselor and retiree?
Something like that could be added in the notes from the counseling session or from phone calls that it occurred, but I couldn't say it happens all of the time.
Okay, well, that would certainly be something I would recommend you think about doing.
So yeah. Now, you said that they're not counseled. To Scott's point, you were saying they're not counseled?
I think in the... What Scott was previously referencing is where they were encouraged on ways to increase their benefit.
Okay.
And, for example, take on as much as this form of compensation that's available to you to drive up your final average that type of conversation and discussion is not taking place.
When you say that, it sounds very malicious, but in fact, they are counselors.
Right.
So they are to provide counseling sessions to the employees on different options if they decide to work another month, another year. I'm sure that there has to be conversation of what ifs. And I don't see any relevance of how that's malicious or should be audited.
They will go through run estimates based upon the request from the member. It's not unusual for a member to ask for two or three different potential retirement dates. In some cases, they will provide projected information, like I believe my salary will be here. And we will also make notations on what we're including, excluding, and various disclosures, and it, you know, based upon if the law changes.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So that's a good point. So there, counseling, I mean, I guess in the past it was kind of a sense of advocacy, right? How do you kind of do what's best for the member on the counselor's part, perhaps? But so if they're in a session and the counselor says, you know, if you wait a few more months, then you might benefit from such and such. I mean, is that...
That is pointed out as well as during group... Yeah, and during group counseling, that's also mentioned. They explain how someone, you know, may be one day away. You know, I'm going to retire on April 1st. And, you know, they will be counseled if it's available to them. If you retire on March 31st or earlier, you would be eligible for the COLA. If you stayed until, they're hitting an age on the age scale, they're going to go up a quarter of a percent. You know, if you stay until May 1st, your benefit it would be this much. That is provided to them and explained to them, yeah.
But that kind of advice is still under the 5% threshold that you're, in general, right? I mean, that's reasonable.
Right. That would even be under part of the 5% threshold because it would be part of their final average calculation.
Actually, just to kind of follow up on Will's, I think I know the answer, but so before we were hearing, hey, on-call pay, if you pick up a lot in your last FAS period, you'll really enhance your pension benefit, which obviously we don't want to encourage. But at the same time, they are still pointing out, oh, by the way, all this on-call you're working is pensionable. They are, you know, given that information, are they not?
They are provided two calculations, one with and one without.
Okay, so...
So they'll see both, and they get an explanation of what the process we will go through to determine if the on-call is includable. But they do get the number, and so they can see it.
Thank you.
And to Will's point, I mean, we are, and maybe it's just terminology, we are counseling our members and providing them with member service and providing them with information to make an informed decision. But in no way are we coaching them and saying, oh, you should do this or that. Or I mean, I can assure you that's not occurring.
Other than in the way that Tim indicated, like, hey, if you wait two more weeks, you hit your quarter birthday.
Yeah. Or if they ask, okay, well, to get the COLA, what date do I need to retire? I mean, we provide that information to them. Right. But as far as, oh, can I include this or that, you know, I mean.
Yeah, and that is in both, like I said, in the group counseling sessions it's talked about, especially at this time of the year. And, the sessions are well attended.
Sure.
But also at the individual sessions, it's also discussed.
Thank you.
So they do know they're not potentially by making one minor mistake by a day, 2 days, maybe a couple of weeks or so, what they left on the table. Because, once they retire.
Well, and plus they don't live and breathe this stuff like you do. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. No further questions.
Exactly.
Thank you, Tim.
I like that.
I think we are now at 8:00.